episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast is I sit here and I'm on fumes, literally. Yeah. I became one with my toilet last night.
One with the toilet.
Yeah, as a nasty tummy bug hit me, and I was like, holy shit, literally.
And, you're like, literally.
I was like, God dang, man, those things sneak up on you, and you can be the toughest SOB or whoever you are, man, but stomach bugs will knock out the strongest of people.
Oh, heck yeah.
They're the worst right there with the flu, man. They suck. I mean, sometimes they only last, 10, 12 hours, but good Lord.
And yeah, we definitely don't want to get those too often. That's for sure.
No. You went through some toilet paper and some weird middle of the night shenanigans and not the good kind. I was like, but here I am recording for the Rebel Radio Podcast because we're dedicated to our craft, even if we're got nasties coming from our bungholes.
That's right. The show must go on, baby.
That's right. But yeah, man, we're a week out from Comicpalooza, and I didn't realize that this would be the last episode people would hear before Comicpalooza, because we will record an episode next Friday night before Comicpalooza, but y'all won't hear that till after Comicpalooza, which is kind of weird. But yeah, so next week at 2:00, we're going to be on the show floor, the podcast booth at Comicpalooza, doing our live shows. We discuss the great adventure of Indiana Jones, and we've got a little Indiana Jones news coming up in just a bit too, to add to that. But it's going to be fun. I haven't even begun to research what we're going to talk about at the show, but we've got a week. We'll come up exactly what we usually just wing it, but we always say, hey, we're going to have like bullet points, and then we never fucking do.
Yeah.
But yeah, Comicpalooza, man, at George R. Brown Convention Center next weekend, Memorial Day weekend here in Houston. The show is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be there. You and I will be there Saturday. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And so it should be a good time, man, as it always is. And, you can come see Anthony Starr from Homelander and Aaron Moriarty and William Shatner and the dude who plays Namor in Black Panther Wakanda Forever and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
You can buy some artwork, buy some comic books and toys, and there's all kinds of shopping to do. See some fan groups and things like that.
Yeah. Well, the Battlestar Galactica people are always there. The 501st. Yeah. Random Ghostbusters people walking around. And there's always that one guy that shows up in the badass Iron Man suit. You know?
Usually, yeah. Yeah. It's fun, man. It's been like, I've been involved with Comicpalooza now about, I think it's going on 13 years. I've been involved with them in some capacity, whether the podcast program or I did the blog for them. And our show has been involved since at least 16 or 17 when I started the podcast program. It's hard to remember how many shows we've done. At some point, it kind of becomes a little bit of a blur. Like, what year did we do that? Oh, yeah, it was that year. What year was that annoying bitch on the show? Oh, yes. And we won't name any names. And, and that was the year we had the annoying clicking thing.
Yes, they put us by that damn raffle.
Well, that was before they took the podcast real seriously. They just sort of said, oh, there's a booth for podcasters. And it wasn't just there. Now it's become a much more real thing. We have banners and chairs for people to watch this podcast and things like that. And, I hate doing the live show in some ways because I don't like talking in front of people. I'm very introverted. Like, we do the Misfit Toy shows. That's a little different because it's small format. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I get pretty intimidated with people walking by. And, I like when we did it in the panel room last year. I kind of like that more because it's a smaller it's a controlled environment.
Yeah. It's not a ton of people.
Yeah. There's not people walking by and distracting me and, things like that. Yeah. But it is what it is. I'm sure we'll make the most of it and put on a good show. And I'm going to try to record it. Last year we had difficulties with that. We weren't able to record the show, but this year I'm going to try to record the show so we can get a playback for all you people that aren't able to come to Comicpalooza.
There we go. So
it'll be a good thing. But, other than my ailments, how's your week been, Matt?
It's been good. I feel like it's been a really rainy, dreary week. I feel like
that was more last
rained week. Almost every day.
Yeah. No, this week hasn't rained as much. That was more last week.
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday, I know it rained Monday.
Sunday it rained, and Monday a little bit, but it was more in the evening. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it stopped since then. So.
It's just kind of blur, you know, been, you know, just kind of flew by this week, I feel like.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure. It feels like we did just record the other day, and we've had a lot going on at my job, construction and things like that in the store, and it's been a bit chaotic. So, but it's
I
think the construction's over tomorrow. So they were almost done today, I guess. They put a new freezer into the store. So they ripped the motherfucker out and put a new one in. So it's been a pretty crazy, a lot of people coming in and out. So, but it is what it is.
You know? It is what it is, but, man.
Other than that, man, I've spent the week trying to, I actually watched a couple things. HBO Max, it's always good for the latest DC animated movie. So Legion of Superheroes hit, and, I watched it, and it's one of the, man, their animation, since they rebooted with Superman, Man of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I like Man of Tomorrow, and I like The Long Halloween, and Green Lantern wasn't bad, but overall they've not been good. And Legion of Superheroes is pretty not good.
I'm
like, it's just like the story is pointless and kind of boring. It's predictable. And I'm just like, I watched it and made it through it, but I'm like, it was just not good. I don't know what's going on with DC animation, man. They were so good and so dependent for so long. And now they're kind of letting us down.
What if they had one guy in the idea room, and you know everyone else is like, right, we've been good for like the past 10 years. What can we do different? And the one guy maybe walks up and he's like, you know what? Maybe we should try sucking. But hear me out. We'll be so bad that we're actually good. And they're like, oh, that's fucking awesome. That's the best idea ever. And then they're like, well, we'll reboot the series. And then everyone dies. We'll set Damian Wayne on fire and turn him into a crispy, only to have Raven bring him back. And then everyone dies, and Trigon comes back as Superman, and then we'll reboot it. It'll be all good. Yeah,
right.
Bugs Bunny will be part of the universe too.
You know, it's like you wonder with physical media sales slowing down. You know. Because people are doing more digitally, and the DC anime movies are always amongst top sellers every month when they came out. And so it's like, you wonder now, are they selling as well still? Are they getting digital sales, things like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, it makes you wonder, how well they're still doing, but, you know, it's, it is, you know, it just could have been a better movie. I was disappointed that it wasn't better. And, other than that, I watched, I haven't finished it. I plan on finishing it today but I was so sick. I didn't come and watch it. I started Dungeons & Dragons, and man, I don't really like it. I'm just going to be honest. It's all over the place at times.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's Chris Pine is cool, but he's also pointless. Like everyone in the show is pointless. Like in the movie, I'm like trying to figure out why people are like, oh, this is good and fun. It's not even fun. It's kind of stupid in parts. There's a lot of dumb one-liners.
Yeah.
They're trying to do a throwback to the old like mummy action films of the 90s, but it just, I will finish it, but it's just not working so far. And mostly what I've seen, it's kind of like, oh, it's really, the biggest thing is it's really all over the place. It like jumps from one thing to the next.
It's they try really hard with the comedy. And sometimes you can tell they are trying really hard. And, you know, sometimes it comes across as one of those jokes that you have to explain kind of, where it just, you know, it's just not, doesn't hit very hard, I guess. And I do feel like Pine is really good, in his role and what he does. I think Michelle Rodriguez is solid. But then you've got, you know, Justice Smith. I wish he would be a little bit less of a timid sorcerer, but I guess that's just what the script had him as, just kind of this unsure of himself kind of guy. And I forget the guy who played Lord Neverwinter, but he seems like he's just, you know, I don't know, not the type of villain you might want in a Dungeons and Dragons film. One thing's for sure, the critics gave it a really, really high rating. I think it was almost like 90% or something like that, something like 90%. and the audience score is a little bit lower, like maybe in the 80s. And I think maybe that's a more fair description. I think the audience score is definitely much more accurate than the critic score. The critics are like, man, this is like a like almost the perfect movie. And the audience score is like, it's solid. You know, I think that's basically the consensus. The audience thinks it's solid. The critics are like, man, this is the best thing since sliced bread almost.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess I don't know enough about Dungeons and Dragons either to get all the little Easter eggs that are apparently in it and little things like that. But it's just like, I'm watching it and I'm just like, I'm waiting for like something really exciting and cool to happen. It has these brief moments, but nothing really. Maybe it will get some more exciting when I get to the finale of it. You know,
yeah.
But I'm just
the
like,
second half is definitely much better. Yeah. But you know, I would say it doesn't. It's not going to live up to that. You know, the critics' expectations that they have, the judgment that they put on that movie. Yeah. I think they just, you know, someone must have slipped them some kind of rub or something.
Like local critic and our friends at Matinee Heroes, Alan Cerny, who's on that show, he really liked it and gave it a really good review. And me and Alan, a lot of times with his reviews, I'll agree with a lot of things he says in a lot of movies. But I'm like, Alan, did you really watch this? Because it's just not that great. Maybe he was just in the right mindset that day that he really enjoyed it for a certain reason.
Caught him on a good day.
Yeah, because I'm just like watching it and I'm like struggling to really like, okay, I don't want to quit it because I don't think it's terrible, but it's not pulling me in. It's just, you know, and I'm an hour and 15 minutes into it. Goddamn thing's 2 hours and 15 minutes long, so I have an hour to go.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it's just not, I'm not enthralled or, you know. It's like
when they try to get back into the castle, and get his daughter back, that's probably the cooler part of the movie. Whenever they're like, okay, how are we going to get in? And it's like, you know, it's like Mission Impossible meets, you know, Dungeons and Dragons,
right?
You know, so I that part is cool. It definitely has some cool moments, but like you said, the Easter eggs. Unless you're a hardcore fan, you're not going to get that, like, the, you know, at one point you get like the Saturday morning cartoon characters in a still shot. The gelatinous cube, of course, I know of because there's always been a gelatinous cube in the dungeons. And of course, Onward's based off of like Dungeons and Dragons. So the gelatinous cube. You know,
right. And there were some name drops I'd heard of, like Baldur's Gate, things like that. But
overall, I played Baldur's Gate on yeah, and I like that one. I thought that was cool hearing, but it's like, you know, that's it can't be the only thing that drives the movie, right. For sure. But when they meet the paladin, after that, it starts getting much more better,
right?
Or much better, sorry, much more.
Yeah, I did intend on finishing it today and was just not feeling good and resting. I just never made it to the TV to finish it.
Was it too Chris Pine of a Chris Pine movie for you?
No, that was still the weirdest pull quote ever. This is the most Chris Pine movie you've ever seen. I'm like,
yes,
just Chris Pine doing his thing, you know?
You're like, I mean, Chris Pine.
What? Chris Pine's one of those guys that, like, he's a solid leading man and he can pull his own, but he's not probably going to win an Oscar. He's just going to be who he is in whatever movie he's in.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, I never had him. He was good as Captain Kirk and he's been good in some roles he's in. He's excellent in Hell or High Water. So, you know.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. He's going to bring it to that role that he's given.
Yeah.
And if the movie is not good, it's not going to be because of him. That's for sure.
That's definitely true. That's really all I watched the, you know, movie in half. And I started getting into, Star Wars Visions. You know, I'd only watched two or three of them when it first came out. And I started going back and watching the first season and, man, there's some really cool stuff in there. Some of it's very kiddish and very like, but there's some really good animes in there, you know, based on these what ifs in the Star Wars universe. And I'm really kind of liking it, man. There's some really cool stuff. And I've been watching season two of The Bad Batch. So, still doing my Star Wars viewing, even though Mandalorian's not on anymore right now. And we got some Star Wars news coming up in just a bit. But what have you watched, man, the last few days?
Yeah, so you had been prompting me to go watch Babylon 5, and I watched the first two episodes of Babylon 5. So And it's smartly done. So the guy that wrote this series, I guess he did She-Ra, he did Masters of the Universe, he did real Ghostbusters, and then he got his own show.
Yeah,
he did this computer-generated type of live-action show called Captain Power, and it was just too expensive for the ratings it was getting, but it was well written. And while he was doing that, he worked on the script, and basically, I guess Babylon 5 is this platform in which different alien beings can come together diplomatically to work out their solutions. And, you know, what's smart about that is it was financially stable, because all you had to do was create one set for the ship, and that's it, because you weren't going to other worlds. Everybody right. came to the ship. Watching the first couple episodes, I think it's a good space drama. I think there's good twists in the episodes, and you know, so far, you know, I like it, you know, and I hear the first season is good. The second one is what he calls rising action, and the third is supposed to be climax. Fourth is falling action, and fifth is, of course, the closure.
The first season is probably the roughest because it's got the most filler episodes.
Yeah.
But even the filler episodes are well done. And there's some very important things in the first season
that play out
later on.
I hear they come back as references in the third, fourth, right. and fifth season.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the second season, it really gets going. The third season is where it's like the Empire Strikes Back of the show. And the fourth season is just great television. I mean, it really is a... They had some issues with the, you know, they weren't sure if they were going to get fifth season, so things that were wrapped up kind of quickly in the fourth season, and then they had the fifth season, but it's still well done. You know, it's Straczynski, a credit to him as a writer for still pulling off, you know, well-told stories, even with the rushed conclusions of the fourth season. But I'm glad you're starting to watch it, man. It's really good. I think you'll enjoy it. You'll appreciate it. It's one of my favorite science fiction shows I've ever watched.
I think I might be on the third episode. I think I'm on the third episode. That's the one where, the Centauri guy, the, receding hairline, French dressed dude with the fan haircut and the lizard humanoid race. I forget their race. I'm still trying to get it all. I guess they're watching like a stripper, basically, exotic dancer. And one of the lizard humanoids' constituents came by to, you know, just greet him. And she wasn't supposed to be at the station for a while. And she's like, oh, yeah, they told me I'd find you at this establishment. And she's like all disappointed in him. He's like, oh, yeah, that girl is fine. And he's like this diplomatic person. And he's supposed to be all, you know, high and noble and stuff. And he's like watching chicks dance and she's like, you know, so that's so tawdry.
Yeah.
But I thought it's funny. Good drama in between the space aliens. And then there's this, friggin' cyborg looking creature that looks like he means business. The advanced, like the technically advanced race. He's got like a light for an eye.
You know what I'm talking about?
And, those things look scary, humans were, it starts with a V, right?
Vorlons.
Vorlons. Yeah. I guess humans had been almost extinct. You know, they had died off, and a lot of them died off in a big war in which the other side just decided to stop. And I guess there was four other Babylons. The first two were sabotaged. The third, I forget what happened to the third. I know the fourth like just disappeared, right?
Right.
And now we're on five.
You'll get more about the war that happened, and one day you'll have to watch in the beginning, the movies. But Londo and Jakar, they'll become your favorite and also most hated characters before the end of the show.
Yeah.
and their relationship with each other. Especially Londo. Londo, you want to root for Londo, but then he does things that are so despicable that you want to hate him too. You know, and that's just the how well written the show is. But I'm glad you're watching. I'm excited for the animated movie that's coming out in, sometime this summer. This week, Straczynski. I mean, we're ready to go into the news, I guess.
Oh, speaking of, you know, we talked Evil Dead Rise. I watched the first couple episodes of Ash versus the Evil Dead. I'd never watched it. And I will say it feels like an extension of Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, just but with more characters. Right. So we'll see. It's only like two seasons.
Yeah, but it didn't last very long.
Yeah. So that's what I pretty much watched. I was going to try and see Fast X today, but I was not able to go see it.
Really? You just save your money. It'll be on HBO Max in 45 days.
It's true. Yeah, you ain't wrong. Probably is.
But yeah, Straczynski came out and said that there will be a more from Warner Brothers in mid-June, a trailer and actual release date here in a few weeks for the Babylon 5 animated movie. So some more to come. We got release dates from Marvel this week for Loki Season 2 and The Echo Show. You got to wait till October 6th for Loki. And it got pushed back in November 29th for Echo. And Echo is going to be Disney Plus's first series to drop all the episodes at one time. So, Disney's going to try a binge format with that show. And sticking with Disney Plus, May 31st, all four Indiana Jones films are going to come to the streaming service. But here's one that's exciting. Finally, for the first time ever, the Young Indiana Jones series is going to be available on Disney Plus to watch. And apparently it looks like they're releasing it in the 22 film formats where they took two episodes each and made them into short films.
Yeah.
They aired back on ABC in the day. But this is cool. It stars local guy, Sean Patrick Flannery, of course, the Boondock Saints. And Young Indiana Jones is really well done if you've never seen any episodes of it. And so it's going to hit the streaming service on May 31st. And it's a good show. It was definitely ahead of its time. It was very expensive to make. That's why it only lasted a couple of seasons because there was a lot of location shooting. Just a very expensive, ahead of its time television show for the early 90s. And but it's really well done. And so I'm looking forward to that because I don't remember a lot of those. I want to rewatch them. So I'm definitely going to stream Young Indiana Jones when it hits. And, you know, shortly after we go to Compalooza and talk Indiana Jones, Young Indiana Jones series will hit Disney Plus here in a couple of weeks.
Definitely going to have to catch up on that. I think I remember it existing. I don't know if I ever caught an episode.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. A little bit of Star Wars news. I don't have a lot of news this week. It's a kind of been slow news time of the year. The famed Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel at Disney, attached to the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, is closing after just about a year of being open. Maybe because it's too expensive. I mean, there was something like $4,000 a night. People said it wasn't really the experience people said it was going to be. They've had trouble booking. So it's did not survive. And not everything Star Wars is foolproof.
Yeah, there was a TikTok that went viral. This lady was talking about how she did the whole Disney thing, and she went and she got lightsabers for the kids. They were like $800 for two lightsabers. I guess you custom build your own lightsabers there. But after the trip was said and done, she like $5,000.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah, it's expensive. Now, she must have bought the high-end lightsabers because I do know someone that has been several times, and he said, no, there's – lightsabers you can get there, they're about the price of a low-end ultra saber with sound, about $150. Okay. So this person must have just really went high-end, probably had sound and music and all that stuff in it.
Saber clash. If you get the that special soundboard where if the sabers hit each other, they do the crackling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that costs way more.
Well, my ultra saber does that, but I bought a grab bag when I bought mine. I got lucky.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't get the soundboard. It has all the noises in it, but it lights up and it makes a crackling.
So, oh no. Yeah. You've got the Emerald soundboard. There's the Obsidian one. If it touches one, it makes a constant crackling sound until you release it. But it's, I think you've got to have the same soundboard.
Yeah. I have to hit a button to make the crackling sound. Yeah. But, and then, in further Star Wars news, a lot of rumor coming out this week, and I wonder sometimes how people get this news, but Dave Filoni's Star Wars movie is apparently titled Heir to the Empire. And of course, we know his Star Wars movie is going to be the one that concludes the Mandalorian saga. And of course, this has fanboys up in arms because Heir to the Empire is the very famous novel from Timothy Zahn that kind of helped with the renaissance of Star Wars in the 90s. And but I also think that I doubt it's going to play too much off of Heir to the Empire. Yes, we know Thrawn is coming in the Ahsoka show and all that. And maybe there will be things that are similar to the Heir to the Empire, but I think it's mostly going to be similar in title and the fact that it has Thrawn, because back in 92, we didn't have Ahsoka. We didn't have the Mandalorian, Grogu, and all these other characters.
Nope.
So if that is true, it's cool. You know, definitely a nod to the classic novel. And we'll see. And if this is a leak and it's true, that means this Mandalorian movie might be a little closer to reality than we thought, you know, as far as, you know, coming in the next couple of years. So,
no, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's more Star Wars. I know, you know, we've got to make sure it's entertaining and it's done with respect to the lore as much as possible. But, you know, I think some people are too, you know, too high and mighty about their Star Wars sometimes.
So I'm excited. I'm really wish we didn't have to wait till August for Ahsoka. I've watched that trailer a few times. I'm like, God dang, this looks so badass. But we have to wait.
Damn, we must wait.
Just wait. all right. Well, today's featured film, man. This is a movie that, you know, from director Rian Johnson, who directed The Last Jedi, which has obviously caused a lot of controversy in the Star Wars universe, which to me is so bizarre because the movie made like $600 million domestically. So it made a lot of money. People went and fucking saw this movie, but yet people wanted to hate on it too. But a lot of that to me stems from the internet causing a lot of
issues. Mark Hamill, who went and said, "This isn't my Luke Skywalker. I had to pretend that this was some alternate universe."
And I think he regrets saying it now because he realizes that wasn't fair to Johnson and his vision. And I don't want to get caught in the controversy because I liked Last Jedi personally. I mean, I think it's a pretty good movie. But Rian Johnson directed that, and this is a movie he directed a few years before Last Jedi, and this is 2012, and starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis and Emily Blunt, and that is Looper.
And Jeff Daniels. Don't forget Jeff Daniels.
And Jeff Daniels.
We wondered where he ended up after they told that band of hot women to go. And he left Lloyd Christmas and became a mob boss.
Right. Yeah. A mob boss from the future. Which is, now this movie, so in the future, it's the year's 2044. And then 30 years later, time travel exists, but it's not legal. And there's, with detection abilities, there's no way to get rid of bodies in the future. So the mob, which strangely still exists in 2077, when the mob doesn't even really exist in 2023, which is weird. So we have to pretend the mob exists in this movie. They send their men back through time illegally to be shot by a looper who knows the exact time and place the person's going to appear because they work for this guy, Abe, who's from the future, who somehow gets details, which is never really explained, as to knowing where these guys are going to show up.
And from the Rainmaker.
From the Rainmaker. They collect their silver, and they go on. And eventually, the Rainmaker decides, who is like this futuristic
TK-enhanced human
that decides he wants to start closing loops on these loopers because he has his own plans. So it starts when Paul Dano, who's severely underused in this movie because he's only in it briefly, his older self gets sent back and he decides not to kill his older self. So he lets his older self escape, which causes problems for Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Joe because he tries to hide Dano, but that doesn't go so well. They find Dano and they kill him anyway. And then they're pissed off at Joe. And through a series of speeches from Abe, which is played by Jeff Daniels, Abe is kind of a strange character in this. Here's a guy who doesn't want to be in the past, but yet he's stuck in the past. And he just makes threats, but he never really does anything, you know?
Yeah, he's like a really nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't like to get his hands dirty, I guess.
So eventually Joe's older self gets sent back, played by Bruce Willis, and does the same thing. He escapes. And this is where the movie gets really kind of convoluted. As Joe is chased down by other Loopers, and Bruce Willis's character escapes too and is having visions of his past self as Joe, which is really bizarre, is he's trying to find the Rainmaker too and kill him because he knows Rainmaker exists in this time. He thinks if he kills him, he can stop all of this.
And that's because the Rainmaker and his men, or basically Rainmaker sent his men to collect him and in the process killed his wife.
Right.
And he wants to make sure that his wife lives and that this Rainmaker doesn't live to see the light of day, because his wife got him off the drugs. He ended up going to China instead of Paris. We get this nice excerpt from Future Joe's timeline, which is weird because if there's one timeline, didn't he get shot? You know, because it shows him shoot Bruce Willis,
right?
You know, and then go on and live his life.
And yeah, we get this alternate timeline thing. Yeah.
Yeah, which isn't explained and is brilliantly explained why it's not explained by Bruce Willis. He's like, we'll be putting straws together for hours if I try to explain this. And it's very smart that, Rian Johnson decided that he was going to have this premise of sci-fi and then focus on character development. You have the element of sci-fi. It's not super touched on. Even the TK thing, it's touched on at the beginning, people floating quarters, and then all of a sudden it sneaks up and we get a TK reveal at the end, which is, where we come to Emily Blunt's character. And, I guess, they're one of the addresses Jason Gordon-Levitt gets a hold of. Bruce Willis has the others. I guess he's got a copy of... No, because he knows... All right, so Bruce Willis gets one copy of one of the addresses, finds Emily Blunt, doesn't know if that's who Bruce Willis is going to look for,
right?
Because Bruce Willis is looking at these other two addresses. But whenever he sees that this kid of Emily Blunt's has TK abilities, crazy TK abilities, like fucking Carrie from Stephen King, he'll just fucking rip somebody to shreds. Dark Phoenix style, man. And because Jason Gordon-Levitt sees this, now Bruce Willis sees this.
Right.
Because as the timeline changes, some things get clearer, some things get cloudier, as Bruce Willis says, based off of the percentage of that timeline will come to be. So his memories are constantly changing. They're not even really his own. So he, of course, knows where he is, and he goes to confront Jason Gordon-Levitt, his younger self, and give him silver so he can say, hey, take off. I'm going to go kill this Rain Man kid, and so he goes after the kid after, Emily Blunt tries to run off with him. It's crazy because we're told in the beginning, that the Rain Man, two things about him. He has like a cyberpunkish jaw or a synthetic jaw, something like that. And that he also saw his mom die. Well, and I think the audience believes that, if Emily Blunt doesn't die, if Bruce Willis doesn't shoot Emily Blunt to try and kill this kid, the Rainmaker, then the Rainmaker won't come to be, because he'll have the love of his mother and she'll be there. And in Jason Gordon-Levitt's vision, as he's watching Bruce Willis try and shoot down the kid, he sees the man, his future self, who would do anything to get his wife back. And he saw the kid, TK kid, Rainmaker, grow up alone. He sees this all happening and decides to turn the gun on himself. And Bruce Willis, the old Bruce Willis, disappears. And, you seemingly think that this kid is going to grow up okay, and because he didn't see his mom die. But Bruce Willis still got him in the jaw. And it's revealed that he thought his mom's sister was actually his mom, because Emily Blunt left... Guess she had some kind of troubled time in her life and left her child with her sister. And he refers to his mom by her first name and, thinks that her sister is really his mom, mentally, and he killed his mom. It's revealed that he killed the sister. He killed who he believed was his mom. So he still saw, quote unquote, his mom die in front of him because he can't control his TK, and he still got shot, grazed in the jaw area. So did anything change?
Right. And that's what I get from the movie. Plus, because of the title, is a play of words. And it's all a loop. That's going to happen no matter what. And that's kind of what I got from it. And I'm also sitting there watching and thinking, like, this movie could easily have a sequel made to it. You could start right where the first one left off, where a different Joe jumps back through time and says, wait, don't shoot yourself because you're not going to change anything. Exactly. You could open up a whole nother book right there. And that's the biggest problem. Yeah, this is a really smart, thought out, well done science fiction movie, but it also suffers a bit from a bit of convulsion. There's so much thrown at you, especially in the last hour once he gets to the farm, like as how it all plays out and what older Joe was doing as he's trying to get to the farm and what young Joe's trying to figure out. And I think that's where maybe the movie bogs down a little bit. It's so you're trying to figure out exactly what's going on. I also can't stand the fact that they use prosthetics on Joseph Gordon-Levitt to make him look like Bruce Willis. Like, why? He could have looked like young Bruce Willis anyway. Just leave it alone.
Exactly.
You know, it's bizarre, and it takes you out of the movie a few times.
What's funny is, I was showing the trailer to my wife. And I was trying to tell her. I was like, oh, yeah, it's got Jason Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. And she's watching the trailer. She's like, that's not Jason Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He doesn't look like that. And I forgot that they used, like, prosthetics on his nose area and tried to really make him look like Bruce Willis. And that's why he doesn't quite look like himself. But I agree with you. He's not anywhere near looking like Bruce Willis. They would have been better if they tried to make Bruce Willis look like Jason Gordon-Levitt, gave him like a wig or something.
It makes you wonder, this movie, if they made this now, 10 years later, if they would have used any kind of a CGI aging tech to make him look similar,
De-age him.
But Joseph Gordon-Levitt does give a good performance regardless, even, and this is a well-acted sci-fi film too. With a bunch of bizarre characters and different reasonings behind what they're doing in the film. Good special effects, it's rated R, but it's not overly violent, especially when the kid kills Kid Blue. You don't really see it. It happens outside the house, but you know what happened. The most violent part is seeing all the blood all over the child's face when he walks out. But the movie, it's cool. I mean, it is cool. Rian Johnson, he's done some neat stuff. Like, there's a movie called Brick he did with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is it's got this cool factor about it, similar to the first Knives Out. Just had a cool factor about it. And Johnson is one of those directors that, like, I want to see him. I hope he doesn't get bogged down in making a bunch of Knives Out films, because I like to see him do more stuff like this. Smart science fiction, well written, cool ideas. And maybe they don't hit on every aspect of what they're trying to hit, but they hit on most aspects.
Yeah. And it's so well written. Emily Blunt only read the first half of the script. She didn't even get to her own stuff before she said, you know what? I'll do it. That's how well written it was. And like I said, he doesn't try and get into too much of the future sci-fi stuff. Doesn't try to explain too much. Because he doesn't want to make that the focus on the film. The focus on the film is the characters. You have, these different people, really different protagonists. You have a passive protagonist in the child, the child Rainmaker. Mm-hmm. And, he's he saves young Joe. And, right. Young Joe overcomes his selfishness and does something completely selfless. He's trying to save a bunch of money so he can go to Paris, and he's trying to learn French, obviously ends up going to Shanghai. Old Joe, I guess he's the antagonist, is the antagonist, the future Rain Man and the Gat Men and Jeff Daniels. Who knows, maybe he's just a man that's trying to save his wife, bring his wife back. Maybe he in some way is a protagonist, but he's so twisted. He got this Anakin Skywalker, you know, thing going on where he wants to go around killing younglings, you know,
right.
The fucks up with that, man. You know, that's, that's evil. Even if you're trying to save your wife, you know, why not go back in time like 10 minutes, you know? I don't know. Well, I guess he didn't have any control over it. Well, yeah, he did have control over the time machine.
There's also, you know, weird stuff with like Joe is a drop. It's like this kind of drop head where he does these drugs to give himself out of his reality a bit. I guess how he deals with killing people. And it's just sort of thrown in the movie. You know, and I've noticed movies doing like even the Batman had these drop heads and drugs and stuff. It's like this, his background for these films now. And then he has like this obsession. I mean, what I got from it is he kind of has a thing for hookers. Joe does.
Oh, he definitely does.
Yeah. And then Emily Blunt throws himself at her and Joe's like, okay, it's like the dude draws drugs and sort of has some addictions, you know?
Kind of weird too. It's like, she pages him like something's wrong.
Right.
And, she's like, yeah, I want to, you know, I'm looking for someone to play hide the weenie with. And, you know, you're the only one here.
Hide the weenie. But no, yeah, it is kind of some weird, like just different elements of the film thrown in. And that's why rewatching this, you realize there's so much going on in this film. But yet you never feel like completely lost, I don't think. And you never feel like it doesn't make sense because it comes together very nicely. And I know friend of the show and former co-host Frank did not like this movie because he complained about how the time travel stuff didn't make sense and you can't see your own self and you can't kill yourself to do that. I'm like, Frank, first of all, I always will go back to this. Does time travel exist? No. So what do you know about it? Nothing.
Exactly.
It's a movie. You know,
there's just a bunch of theories, you know. Yeah, obviously, exactly. There's some convolution with the timeline aspect, you know, and but it's not meant for you to think about the time. I mean, I guess we're going to think about it anyways, but Rian Johnson doesn't want you focused on the time travel aspect. That's right. Why Bruce Willis says, yeah, if I try and explain time travel to you, we're going to be here for hours. And that takes the fun out of the movie because the fun part is the internal struggle that these characters are having. And young Joe's journey, I feel like, because old Joe, his journey's over.
Right.
You know, he's trying to save what little he had left of his life. You know, he already made it 30 years after. So he's probably in like his late 50s, early 60s at that point.
It says, according to Rian, apparently it's on a piece of paper or something, movie, and Rian Johnson confirmed it, that Joe was born in 2019.
2019, that's right.
So he's about 25 in the movie. So his older version is about
55.
So which Bruce looks a little bit older than 55 in the movie. But, you know, another thing rewatching this, it made me realize, like, you know, with Bruce and his ailments he's going through in real life now, it sucks. It's still cool to see him on screen, you know?
Oh, dude, he has a badass action scene in this film, man, where he just kills all the Gatmen.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
He goes through and kills Abe and everybody. He just rips them all to shreds. But Bruce Willis still doing his thing back in 2012 when this
movie came. Yeah, man. He still had it, man.
Yeah. And, you know, and Gordon Levitt, he's done like two or three movies with Rian Johnson. He did The Lookout and Brick and this. And, you know, there were rumors at one time that Levitt was going to try to appear in Star Wars for Rian Johnson, but I guess it didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
So I imagine they would collab. They may collab again at some point. Maybe we'll get Levitt in the third Knives Out film. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him again. He's always good in whatever he does on screen. I've never seen a bad movie with him.
No, I always felt he could have been a bigger star than he is. I mean, he's a big star, don't get me wrong, but I always felt like Levitt really had the ability to be a top-notch star. But he finds himself appearing in a lot more ensemble films. You know, he's never really had that film that to himself, you know?
Yeah.
But he's had a good career, and he does good stuff, whether it was in The Dark Knight Rises or Inception and Looper. You know, he's done some really good movies.
Oh, yeah. Some good sci-fi stuff, some good superhero stuff. You know, well, maybe we'll see him again sometime soon.
Oh, I'm sure.
I wonder if he's got anything going on late, you know, in recent potentially.
But Looper is a good movie, man. If you've never seen it and want a good smart science fiction, check it out. I think it's available on Amazon's Freevee app. but you can stream it on there. And of course it's easy to find on Vudu and other places, digital formats. And it shows up on Netflix and stuff every now and then. But Looper is definitely worth your time if you've never seen this film, if you want a really good, smart science fiction film.
Oh, he does a voice of Jay in Star Wars Visions in one episode.
Oh, okay.
So as you're watching it, look out for someone named Jay. That's Jason Gordon-Levitt.
Cool. All right. Well, get to Comicpalooza next Saturday, we're going to record an episode for y'all, and we're going to talk one of my absolute favorite movies of the last, several years. And it's not even a live action movie. It's an animated film that is, to me, a true love letter to Spider-Man and Stan Lee and comic books. And this movie, I remember when the trailers first hit and people saw Sony Animation, people really didn't quite know what to make of it. I think that's fair to say. Like, oh, animated Spider film, I don't know. Then it came out and the reviews were through the roof. People were loving it. People were going to theaters and loving it. And now the sequel's going to hit here in a couple of weeks. And that is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Miles! Yeah? Gotta go!
If you want me to drive you, we gotta go now.
No, Dad, I'll walk.
Personal chauffeur going once.
It's okay.
Seriously, Dad, walking would have been fine.
Breaking news, Spider-Man saves the day again.
Spider-Man. This guy swings in once a day, zip-zap-zop, Nancy.
I know.
Accountability.
Dad, speed up, speed up. I know these kids.
Yo, Miles, man, you get arrested?
Guys, don't cops run red lights?
Well, yes, some do. But, not your dad.
In your universe, there's only one Spider-Man. But there is another universe. It looks and sounds like yours, but it's not.
My name's Miles Morales.
Hey, kid. You're like me.
How?
I knew my day would come around this time.
I know it's complicated. Just had to get my soul to free my mind. You want to know what happened to you? I can teach you to be Spider-Man.
I love this burger. So delicious. One of the best burgers I've ever had. You have money, right? I'm not very liquid right now.
I think you're going to be a bad teacher. How am I supposed to save the whole world?
You can't think about saving the world. You have to think about saving one person.
One thing I know for sure, don't do it like me. Do it like you.
Brooklyn!
I see the spark in you. It's amazing.
Hands up!
Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great.
I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
You wanna hear me say it?
I love you, Dad.
You're dropping me off out of school.
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
Time to swing, just like I taught you.
When did you teach me that?
I didn't. It's a little joke for team building.
Hey, guys.
Okay, who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy.
Come on.
How many more spider people are there?
Save us a Comic-Con.
What's Comic-Con?
Let's go!
And this movie is, this movie flat out rocks. I mean, it's just a fucking great comic book movie. It's a great science animated film. It's a great Spider-Man film. One of the best, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. No, I have to agree. I mean, it's a really, really good animated film. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, I wasn't even that super hyped to see it. And then it came out and the reviews were just, I think you were one of the biggest factors. We were like, you're like, man, you got to see this. And
yeah,
man,
it's great.
Were you right?
And, so we're going to discuss it next week and get people ready for the sequel that's coming out and get y'all ready for Comp Blues, of course. But I'm looking forward to talking Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse. It's a movie that we, talked about doing a couple of times and we're like, well, the sequel's finally coming out, so it's a good time to do it. It's one of those COVID factors. The movie kept getting pushed back, the sequel.
Oh,
and we kept pushing this back on our radar to talk about. I'm really looking forward to talking about the story of Miles Morales and his adventures in the Spider-Man universe. Just a good fun film.
Oh yeah.
So that'll be next week on the show. And until then, visit the rebelradiopodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And we thank you as always for listening, and we hope you come out and see us at Comicpalooza next Saturday. We look forward to that. And Until then, thanks as always for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.